Behave, The Biology of Humans at Our Best and Worst, Book Summary. Author, Robert M. Sapolsky. Publisher, Penguin Press, 2017/Vintage, 2018. Pages, 790 pages, English edition. Core proposition. Where does human behavior come from? Why can the same person commit both acts of extraordinary kindness and acts of unspeakable violence? The traditional view says it comes down to character or free will. But Sapolsky tells us, no, it's far more complicated than that. Sapolsky is a neurobiologist and primatologist at Stanford University. Over 30 years of research, he has come to a stunning conclusion: behind every behavior, there is a causal chain that stretches from 1 second before the behavior all the way back to millions of years ago. To understand human behavior, you must simultaneously understand neuroscience, endocrinology, psychology, evolutionary biology, and cultural anthropology, and that is exactly what this 790-page masterpiece sets out to do. Core Insight 1, 1 second before, how the brain makes real-time decisions. Let's start from the nearest point. What is happening in a person's brain 1 second before they do something? The answer depends on what kind of behavior it is. If it's a reflex, like pulling your hand away from a hot stove, the spinal cord is doing most of the work, the brain hasn't even had time to process the information yet. But if it's a complex social behavior, like deciding whether to help a stranger, many brain regions are involved. The amygdala is assessing threat, the prefrontal cortex is doing rational judgment, the nucleus accumbens is calculating reward, the hippocampus is recalling similar past experiences. Sapolsky, the prefrontal cortex is the neural basis of our best self. It is responsible for impulse control, long-term planning, moral reasoning, and empathy. Basically, everything that makes you look like a person depends on this region. But here's the problem: the prefrontal cortex develops very slowly and isn't fully mature until around age 25. This is why adolescents' decisions are often impulsive and reckless, not because they are bad people, but because their brains haven't finished growing yet. Even more critically, the prefrontal cortex can be very easily shut down by stress. When you are in extreme fear, anger, or under high stress, the function of your prefrontal cortex significantly declines, and your brain reverts to a more primitive, amygdala-dominated state. In other words, you lose your mind. This explains many violent behaviors, not because the person is inherently evil, but because at that moment, the rational part of their brain temporarily went offline. Core Insight 2, Hours to Days Before, How Hormones Shape Behavior. Push the clock back a bit further. What factors are at work in the hours to days before a behavior occurs? The answer is, hormones. Sapolsky focuses on testosterone and cortisol. There is a widespread myth about testosterone, that it causes violence. But Sapolsky uses massive amounts of research to tell us, that's not how it works. Testosterone itself does not cause aggressive behavior, what it does is enhance existing tendencies. If you are already an aggressive person, testosterone will make you more aggressive. If you are already a gentle person, testosterone will make you more gentle, for example, more vigorously protecting your family. So, the correct way to understand testosterone is, it amplifies motivational states that are already there, not creating violence out of thin air. Translation: testosterone doesn't make you a monster, it makes you more of what you already are. Cortisol is the stress hormone. Short-term, moderate cortisol helps people cope with challenges, but chronically high levels of cortisol damage the function of the prefrontal cortex, making people more impulsive and less able to regulate their emotions. This explains why people who experienced chronic trauma in childhood are more prone to behavioral problems as adults, not because they learned bad habits, but because their stress response systems were permanently altered. Core Insight 3, From Childhood Back to the Fertilized Egg, How Early Experience Shapes the Brain. Push it back even further. A person's childhood experiences, and even what their mother experienced while they were in the womb, permanently shape their brain and endocrine system. Sapolsky discusses epigenetics. This is a revolutionary discovery. Environmental experiences can change how genes are expressed, and this change can be passed down to the next generation. For example, research has found, mothers who were pregnant during the Dutch famine, their children had significantly higher risks of cardiovascular disease and mental illness as adults, and this risk was passed down to the third generation through epigenetic markers. This means, Every word you speak, every behavior you engage in, may affect not only you, but also the brain structure and stress response patterns of your unborn grandchildren. This is a staggering thing to contemplate. Core Insight 4, Us Versus Them, How Group Identity Manufactures Violence. Now we come to the heaviest and most important part of this book, why are humans willing to kill and to die for group identity? Sapolsky uses massive neuroscience evidence to show the human brain has an extremely powerful us versus them categorization system. When you see one of us in pain, the pain empathy regions of your brain, the anterior insula, anterior cingulate cortex, are activated, you literally feel their pain. But when you see one of them in pain, those regions either don't activate, or they activate reward-related regions, you may even feel a flicker of pleasure. Even more terrifying is this. This us versus them categorization can be based on completely arbitrary, completely meaningless criteria. In experiments, researchers randomly divided a group of participants into red group and blue group, and that alone was enough to cause people in the red group to show subtle but measurable discrimination against the blue group. No real historical hatred needed, no actual conflict of interest needed, as long as there is an us and a them categorization, the brain automatically begins the operation of favoring our own, excluding the other. This is the biological root of nearly every war, massacre, and ethnic cleansing in human history. Sapolsky doesn't offer a simple solution to this, but he emphasizes, understanding this mechanism itself is the first step toward resisting it. Core Insight 5, Good and Evil Are Both Products of Biology, Does Free Will Exist? The last core insight, and the most philosophical one, if every one of our behaviors is jointly determined by nervous system state, hormone levels, gene expression, childhood experiences, cultural background, then does free will still exist? Can we really be responsible for our own actions? Sapolsky's answer is careful and complex. He does not advocate for the simplistic position that, because biology determines everything, no one is truly guilty. On the contrary, he emphasizes, understanding the biological roots of behavior is not about making excuses for atrocities, it's about making our criminal justice system more scientific and more humane. For example, if a person's prefrontal cortex is severely damaged due to a congenital defect or acquired trauma, causing them to be unable to control their impulses, then simply punishing them is neither rational nor effective. A better approach is, treat their brain, while using other methods to protect society. This is not coddling criminals, it is understanding crime in a scientific way. At the same time, Sapolsky emphasizes, understanding biology also makes us more tolerant toward ourselves and others. The next time you encounter an irrational person, try thinking, they may just have gone through a stress storm, their cortisol levels are high, their prefrontal cortex is offline, not to excuse their behavior, but to allow you to respond more calmly and more effectively. Practical implications. For managers and leaders, the biggest takeaway from this book is, human behavior can be shaped by environment. If you want your team members to exhibit cooperative, innovative, responsible behaviors, then you need to create an environment that supports those behaviors, low stress, high trust, clear sense of purpose, fair reward system. Conversely, if you create a high stress, zero-sum, deeply unfair environment, then no matter how excellent the people you hire, they will eventually exhibit the behaviors you least want to see, because that is the inevitable result of the environment. For parents, this book is a heavy reminder. What you give your children is not just a home and an education, you are also giving them their lifelong brain structure and stress response patterns. Chronic stress in childhood biologically damages the child's prefrontal cortex, making them more impulsive and less able to regulate emotions as adults. So, giving your child a safe, stable, love-filled childhood is not some soft educational ideal, it is the most important hardware investment you can make in their brain. For every ordinary person, the greatest gain from reading this book is a deeper empathy. When you understand the full causal chain of behavior, from 1 second before to millions of years ago, you will find that the boundary between bad people and good people is far less clear than we imagine. Everyone is struggling with their own biological limitations. Everyone has their own 1 second before and decades before. Understanding this, we may be able to be more tolerant toward others and toward ourselves, while also becoming more determined to do the things that improve environment, improve brain function, and improve behavior. Conclusion. Behave is a rare book. It has both the highest scientific rigor and profound moral concern. Sapolsky takes us on a magnificent journey from brain neurons to human civilization, across nearly 800 pages. After reading this book, your understanding of yourself, of others, and of society will fundamentally change. This is not an easy read. It has extremely high information density and covers an extraordinarily wide range of specialized fields. But every page of effort will reward you in some way, perhaps a new understanding of yourself, perhaps a new tolerance toward others, perhaps a new framework for thinking about the question of how to create a better world. Finally, let me close this summary with Sapolsky's own words: doing the right thing always depends on context. May you, after understanding the complexity of behavior, still be willing to and be better able to do that right thing.